Everybody knows about quality, but do you know about true quality? Tonight, we meet Joe with True Quality Automotive, and he tells us all about making sure you're getting your car fixed the correct way. Come on in. We can't wait to see you.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits. We've got Joe here today. How are you doing today, Joe?
Doing good, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome. Joe is with True Quality Automotive. We have known each other for a long, long time, all the way from high school.
Yeah, that's right.
So yes, Joe and I have been longtime friends, but he's also an entrepreneur doing mechanical work, owning his own garage here locally in Dayton, grew up in Centerville as well, so all-around Dayton guy.
Yep.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about what makes your, you know, what's your mission statement for, I guess you could say, your shop? Like, what is it that your shop really strides to do?
Sure. So we would like every time for the vehicle to basically leave better than it came. So just putting out the best work that we could possibly do.
Absolutely. Plain and simple. I love that.
You know,
coming in better than we found it.
Yep.
So yeah, you said that there was a, you know, one of the things that goes on with people when they are looking at getting their work done on their cars, it's kind of like a shopping list. You know, some things have higher priority than others. Why don't you tell us more about what you mean by this shopping list mentality that customers have?
Sure. So there's many things that kind of take precedence over others as far as like from a safety perspective. So like a ball joint, if it had play in it, you know, and you hit a, you know, that typical big Dayton pothole, you know, if it had too much play, you know, it could kind of separate, kind of like, you know, a joint in your body, you know, and that becomes a problem on a car because, you know, the tire might, you know, change angles, fall off or whatnot. So it becomes more of a safety oriented area. That
yeah, so you're saying some things are more safety focused while other things may just be more, you know, aesthetic or, you know, nothing that...
Sure, or maybe just a simple flush. Maybe the fluid is discolored a little bit where it can wait. So we would put the priority more on the, you know, ball joint, you know, suspension steering component, in other words, or whatnot. And, you know, go down the list from there if there was multiple issues with the same vehicle, in other words.
You know, basically, you decided to become a mechanic. How did that happen? Like, what is your story? What got you involved wanting to do cars? How did it all start?
Basically, my first car was a sports car, and I had no business with it and really couldn't afford it. So I had to learn how to fix it, and it just went from there.
Okay. Well, what car was it?
It was a Firebird. A 95. Right. Yeah, Firebird.
95 Firebird.
Yeah. Yeah, it costed a lot of money to take it to the dealer or wherever. And at the time, I just started learning how to go about, you know.
So you started working on your own car?
Correct. And then it just flourished from there, you know, and then started working on other people's cars. And then I kind of gained a lot of gratification from, you know, the repair.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
So you went to, for schooling, where'd you go then? Was it Sinclair?
Yeah, went to Sinclair.
Okay.
Yep.
And then what?
They had a really good automotive, basically a really great automotive program, one of the best in the country. And from there, I'd worked at a dealership, you know, for about 4 years at the time, and then moved into some mom and pop shops after that. But yeah, I just kept working and working, never really stopped. So it was basically the occupation that I stuck with right outside of high school. And
Now I know that when you worked with those dealerships, I know you were saying in the pre-show that, you know, that's where you kind of learned that you never really had a good boss. So you wanted to, you know, start your own thing is what you said.
That was always the dream, you know, but I knew that I'd had to climb the ladder essentially. And, you know, we all have to start somewhere. So I had to basically put my time in and gain the knowledge and, you know, there's a little bit of confidence too involved because it's not always an easy fix. You gotta go in there with a good head. You gotta think the best. You know, some of these bolts get seized up, and we gotta heat them up and turn them into liquid. And there's a gas tank next to you. And not that we make bombs out of what we're working on, but you kind of have to know.
Be careful.
You gotta know what you're doing. You know, you can't.
You could be stamping on a landmine though.
Yeah, you just can't just put anybody on it. So there's definitely experience involved and knowing what tool to reach for and when.
Yeah, and then from there, you basically started your first shop. It was basically at your place, at your own house. So yep. I guess you started there. So
yep.
How long were you there for? And what type, were you able to do everything there, or did you have to?
Yeah, I mean, we did a lot of stuff there. I mean, transmissions, engines, it didn't matter. There was no job too big or small, really, that I couldn't handle. I just outgrew it. But yeah, just took a detached garage and turned it into like a one-bay shop and worked there from 2011 probably up to almost 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that brings you to where you are now.
9 years, you know, essentially.
Yeah, that is, that's a long time. That's almost a decade.
Yeah, so definitely just kept building the clientele and kept doing what I do each and every day, and then found a good location that I kind of, you know, paid attention to for years before it became, you know, up for sale essentially.
So this is a corner lot here, and where's that at exactly, so everyone knows?
Yeah, on the corner of Smithville and Wayne.
Okay.
Yep.
And basically, I remember you're saying, I guess an older guy owned it, but wasn't really working in it all the way to the end.
Yeah, he spent quite a bit of years there. You know, it was like an old golf station back in the probably late 40s, early 50s, and then I think he purchased it in the early 70s and worked there all the way up to 2018. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did some years there and just kind of became kind of a place where he hung out essentially. You know, they had flea markets in the parking lot on the weekends and whatnot. It wasn't really tailored towards, you know, production of working on vehicles like what I was you know.
So you kind of got it and, you know, breathed more life into
it. I did, you know, I put it back into the probably a better condition than it ever was and you know.
Now it's a working shop.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Put more lifts in there and made it accommodate more vehicles at once.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's always good when you can take a building that, you know, needs improvement and then really make it shine like you like.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
So one of the things that we ask is, you know, how do you contribute to the local economy? And you said, you know, you work on a lot of fleet vehicles. Why don't you tell us some of the different fleets you work on and, you know, how you keep those guys moving so everyone else is able to, you know, get their, you know,
sure,
stuff fixed, yeah, as you say, or whatnot.
You know, we're always looking for new customers. It doesn't matter if it's an individual or a business that has a fleet. But, some of the local HVAC companies like Logan's HVAC Heating and Air and Albert Services, Mahaffey's Pies, I mean, basically keeping their tires turning allows their services to get done for you as well. And it's kind of like a circle. Everything's just got to work, you know.
Yeah, it's a very important part of the piece of the puzzle for you to be, you know, making sure that those trucks are working so that they can, you know, those techs can get to their jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping those tires turning, you know.
Yeah.
Makes other things possible.
Absolutely. That's a very... very important thing to have happen. As far as, you know, what are some things that set you apart, you know, from other companies? You know, True Quality Automotive, you know, obviously the name pretty much explains itself, but, you know, what are some things that, you know, that makes your company better than others? I know that you've said there's a couple different things, and I know the first thing you mentioned was quality control and not overselling products. Why don't you explain to us more about what that means and how your company does that?
Sure. Kind of like what we were kind of talking about earlier a little bit with the shopping list. Like, we can prize things that make more sense than other things, essentially in the realms of, is it like necessarily needing to be done today or can it wait? And there's things on vehicles that, you know, can wait a little longer than others if, like, we were talking about earlier, if a vehicle comes in with multiple issues. So we kind of compile a list of what's most important to least important, but how it's, you know, how we set ourselves apart from the competition is quite simple. We're not going to sell you on things that you don't need. We're not like quota based. We don't work off numbers where we're just trying to sell things to the customer that they don't need. So we're gonna hit hard on the things that are most important, and we're gonna tell you on
now. Why don't you explain to us what a quota-based company is? Because I don't know if people know what that is.
Yeah, they don't. You know, so it's basically gonna fall into like these places that are multiple locations, chain stores, and they just hire anybody with a pulse, and they're looking for a number at the end of the, you know, week, month, year, whatnot. So they might have to be told that they have to sell a certain amount of air filters, cabin filters, or a certain amount of flushes. You, the customer, might not necessarily need it, but their numbers need it. So they're going to hit you with, okay, this is the repair you need. This is how much it costs. And it's going to go into their little kitty. And, you know, they just sold another person to help their numbers, essentially. Yeah. It's not what you need per se. You know?
So they're more interested in hitting their numbers and hitting what the store or the company's goals are than actually selling you a product that you may need.
Yeah,
not need.
And, you know, I've thought about it because, you know, I've interviewed people for jobs that kind of work for places like these, and they kind of tell me how the inner workings work a little bit, and it's kind of disturbing, and we don't do things like that. But at the end of the day, I kind of really think that it's kind of based upon who the people are in which they're hiring. I don't think they're going after the people with experience. So they're kind of stuck with just somebody that they can only pay a certain amount to. And then they're just, once again, looking for those numbers. You know, how much profit can they make versus is it doing the right thing for the customer? And actually, is it the right fix? Or are they just shotgunning parts, taking guesses with your pocketbook, and paying somebody that doesn't have a clue on how it works?
And there's no excuse for that with the way technology is today, which we're going to get into that here soon. But before we get to about technology in your company or in your industry, you know, one of the other things that you did say was, you know, it's nice because you have less hands touching the cars. You have the ability to really have kind of a start to finish approach, and you are always checking and making sure that it's getting done correctly no matter what on every vehicle. You're not letting vehicles leave without a, I guess you could say, extra check.
Yeah, there's definitely not a lot of hands in the
cookie jar.
Yeah, essentially, exactly. So, you know, we make a good relationship with the customer and their vehicle, and we make sure that it's fixed promptly, and we're not throwing the wrong parts at it. We're going about the job, you know, diagnosing it effectively.
So that leads us to, you know, basically you being a car doctor, and with all the technology advances that's happened in the car industry, why don't you tell people about how that's really transformed the industry?
Yeah, definitely. It's, in my opinion, kind of like a glorified cell phone with wheels. I mean, there's a lot of computers on board. I mean, sometimes these scan tools take a while to scan all the computers, essentially. It's not just about that engine light that kind of looks at you on the dash. You know, there's other codes that can be present that don't really flag lights per se on the instrument panel. But these cars, they, you know, every year becomes a new product year for the vehicle industry, and so does the software. So we keep our scanners up to date with the latest software, and you know, obviously there's other software in which we have to employ too, as far as the procedural steps, what they call for time wise, and yeah, just staying up to date. You know, Chrysler, I believe it's like a 2018, 2019. I don't care what scan tool you own. If you try to scan it, it doesn't scan because you have to pay them for the rights to even get into scanning the car.
Really?
That most people wouldn't even know. So there is definitely some expense involved from the business perspective that
comes into scanning.
Yeah, and I think that the public needs to know a little bit about that, because
tell us about the scan. I was going to ask you what's involved
exactly.
With the check engine scan, because I feel like there's this perception from the general public, like you're saying, they kind of feel like it might be a little, you know, a little scammy. Not saying it is. I know I don't like.
Yeah, it's like
word.
A rhyming word on the scan, huh?
Right. Exactly. scam, and and you know, I really want to clarify that because it really is an important piece of the puzzle. I personally had an experience on a truck where I had to go get a scan done from GM because they're the only ones that could figure it out, because it said this is what's wrong, but like the code, I think you remember, it was like the code had like 10 different things that could be wrong. You're like, Frank, this is if we do all 10, it's gonna be a problem.
Oh yeah, it gets into
so spend the extra $250 to get what exactly it is,
right,
or whatever.
So
it is.
I mean, anybody can just put a tool on the DLC, diagnostic link connector, it's under the steering column, whatnot, and read, you know, code you know, what the codes are, unless it's like I told you, one of those ones where you got to pay extra or whatnot, but to the manufacturer for the software or whatnot. But where I'm going with this is it's kind of like a hunt. Like, you look at the dirt and it's kind of a guide to take you a direction to take. It's not necessarily a parts list or a shopping list where, oh, the scan tool said this, so we must replace this. We still have to check the integrity of the circuit, the wiring. Is the computer seeing the necessary inputs, and is it giving the outputs? I mean, there's still, we have to be a lot of different kinds of trades in a sense, you know, electricians, HVAC guys, you know,
stereo
mechanics.
Systems.
So the car encapsulates a lot of different systems in itself. So
I know some systems with the stereo systems, I don't know if they're doing this still, but they used to put the damn security system through the stereo system, and that just throw everything in the haywire.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem with a lot of these cars, you know, even these new ones coming out, the infotainment center, a lot of the modules run through it. It's like a power mode master, they might call it, where it has to check over all the other computers and make sure that there's no issues within their circuits. And if there is, then it might just kaput and, you know, doesn't work on its end. So it's got to, once again, see proper inputs to give proper outputs. And there's a lot of calculations going down at once. And then also sometimes it comes down to software updates, essentially, kind of like your cell phone. When you go to sleep at night, it might update. These cars, you know, as you put miles on them, they get carboned up, you know, and things like that. They don't breathe as well, kind of like when we get older, we got, you know, maybe our arteries get clogged up a little bit more.
Right.
Well, the software tuning around that actually changes. Like a transmission, it's going to wear. There's clutches in there, like a, you know, a manual transmission would have once had. So now you got clearances that build. Now we need to give it more hydraulic line pressure, you know, so.
You need the computer to tell it that.
Yeah, it wears a little bit out. Not saying it's totally bad, but it wears enough that it might need a different kind of software to
Just a little update.
Yeah,
that's interesting. You know,
so once again, that's a whole nother animal into other things that we have to do with laptops and special devices and things like that. But sometimes some of these shops might replace a part when all it needed was an update. You didn't even have to put a wrench to it or get dirty.
Well, that's interesting. Some of the challenges you said that the industry is facing right now, skilled labor is one of the big ones, just trying to find skilled labor. Why don't you talk about that and like schooling and how long it takes? You can't just hire someone off the street. You know, they got to have some education here.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, you know, there's different kinds of skilled labor, I feel, in the trade. You know, you got these guys that hung out at the dealership for a long time and they're really only comfortable with one product line, you know, and then you introduce them to a lot of the different makes and models that go down the road and they're kind of lost. They don't have the arsenal of tools or the abilities to fix them because they just didn't really put the time to working on them, you know, so. You know, I got about 21 years in the trade and, you know, the experience is, there's a lot that goes into it. So yeah, as you were saying, you can't just hire in anybody that just started, you know, you want to, you know, fix things that take time and, you know, we could hire those guys in to do flushes and things like the other guys do and make it all quota based, but we're an actual repair facility that fixes the car and doesn't just charge you for things you don't need.
Now, the other thing you said is customer patience. Now, this, I think you've said this was more noticeable after now, you know, COVID, but the patience of customers because of getting parts or getting things fixed, you notice is really kind of taking a toll on the industry as well.
Yeah, and I don't want to go against the notion that the customer's, you know, always right or wrong or whatever you want to say. It's not about that, you know, it just becomes like these. You know, vehicles become more complicated each and every year. And sometimes it takes longer to fix them. You know, there's just more systems in which I got to dive into to make sure that they're functioning properly, you know, and there's a lot of procedural steps in which we have to take for certain codes that set sometimes. And or issues, squeaks, rattles, clonks, or intermittent issues, maybe battery draws, they call it parasitic drains. You know, maybe your battery loses a charge every once in a while when you park it, but not at other times. So it kind of makes us hard for the mechanic to diagnose it in a, you know, quick amount of time. Like Jeff Bezos can get a package delivered to your front door. so maybe other things in life that come quicker, you know, make people think that so should the repair. Yeah,
right.
Essentially. So, and not only that, the parts, you know, I have to rely on another place to deliver a part right. in a timely manner. And if it's not in stock, we got to wait another day sometimes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not your fault. So, it's the
yeah.
part guy. And that brings me to the next part, which, you know, you said the way parts are today, you know, getting from overseas, they're coming in broken, or they may not even be at the right specs to fit into the fittings. Like, it's just kind of crazy how things are just so slightly ever off.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I feel like maybe there was a, you know, a point there back when we were dealing with the virus, COVID, you know, back in 2020, maybe these companies ramped in production because they were down on help or whatnot. I don't know, but... like last week, for example, Frank, I had to order 3 AC compressors for a Chevy HHR before I got one good one.
Wow.
And they came from 3 different vendors.
Mm.
The first 2 were locked up. Luckily, I was smart enough to just grab it with my hands and turn it.
Yeah.
Most people might just be like, okay, we got a new part. Let's hang it.
Yeah, let's put it in.
And then they start it up, charge it with a Freon, and next thing you know, they wasted hours hanging a bad part. So... once again, experience, you know, it does help sometimes.
Which, and, you know, that's an example of both. You saving the customer time, but at the same time, it also shows, wow, it took 3 different parts. If you wait,
yeah,
that could be 3 different days.
Exactly. And
so you saved them time, but then you also took more time.
Correct.
How,
we had to wait an extra day for the now third one to come in, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's not like that all the time, but it kind of makes the job a little bit more difficult, because when you think that you had it figured out and you replaced the part with a new part, and yet the new part was bad, and then you want to like maybe like go down another rabbit hole as far as another fix, you kind of have to know how things work from a more so, in my opinion, deeper perspective, because you could go down a whole nother time waster when you just return back to that same spot, you know, where you had it right all along. So you really have to be careful in the industry, you know, and also with where you get these parts. Now, like I stated earlier, we went through a couple different vendors, but, you know, you just never know. I think it's just, they just ramped up production on some of this stuff and their quality control was down, where I'm trying to be up on that department.
Right.
Because that saves money for the customer and that saves time.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing you want to do is send the car out broken. Like you said, you want it better than it came in. So it does you no good when you get a rollback. No good at all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not saying we don't fix things under warranty. We do offer a year warranty on our labor, and then whatever the parts manufacturer offers on their parts could be 3-year, could be lifetime, could be 1 year, depending upon, you know, batteries, for example, they carry different warranty timelines. But we have to make sure that, you know, we're doing the job properly, torquing all the fasteners to spec. You know, I kind of look at a car like it's an airplane. I mean, you're behind the wheel. It's, you know, it can hurt you if it goes off the road. You know,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
There's definitely a lot of safety involved. So I take my job quite seriously, and I pretty much look over everything that goes in and out the door, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what you got to do to make sure it all works.
Yep.
So basically, as far as parts go, you always make your first call to a local parts company. Why don't you tell us more about who that is and how that works?
Yeah, it's a company called Federated Auto Parts, or they go by KOI, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana. It's the largest privately owned parts house in the country, and they do a great job. They employ a lot of good drivers, and they get the part to me pretty quick, usually less than 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and once again, that saves time. That gets the...
And they're local. I love that.
Yeah, right down the street. So that gets things flowing pretty good for us, you know, whereas some of these other chain stores... they, you know, they only hire a few drivers. They don't hire 10 plus like this company. So they're putting out good parts, good volume. And, it's my first call, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's good. Now, what about as far as like warranties that go for labor? Like, let's just say like, for example, for a transmission, let's say you put a new transmission in and they gave you a bad transmission and it goes out in a year. How does that process work? Like, do you get reimbursed for the labor? Do you not? Like, you know, does the part company, are they going to actually do that for you? Like, is it different for every company, I'm assuming?
I mean, can be, yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, you know, if they stick you with something, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we had a conversation before where, you know.
We've had a few on this topic.
Yeah, yeah, where parts companies, yeah, if you do the wrong one, they may not necessarily be kind and reimburse you.
Sure. For me, I'm not like.
Or a customer gets a part from Amazon and then the part doesn't work and then they're mad and it's like, I still did the labor.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad imposters on Amazon. It's a lot of counterfeit parts and things like that.
Yeah, they're
no good, you know.
Right.
Head gaskets and things, they might look like anything that you could buy from the local parts house here, but they just don't hold up, you know.
Or,
that's a whole other world of trash. But, I mean... It's a slippery slope. They still take care of the installer, you know. They pay us half our labor at the same book time in which we quoted the job to the customer. Usually on a transmission, it's 3 years on limited mileage. So you could drive to the moon and back if you could in that amount of time. It doesn't matter. But I like that. You know, I usually go with that, you know, angle, I guess I could say, as far as the fix is concerned, because it gives the customer a lot of protection and it gives me the installer protection as well. Now, when it comes down to the paying for it, like who pays for it, you know, the warranty company and whatnot, they usually pay half of the labor time and then whatever the book time was. Yeah. So it's still kind of a loss, but we're getting, you know, paid back a little bit for our time and the customer's getting it fixed. So nobody's totally out, you know?
Yeah.
So like it's just the way it has to go. Now, over time, I know like generally who is better to deal with than not, but just the years of experience that I've got dealing with certain vendors in the community. So we try to go to the people that offer the best product first and foremost.
More importantly, you getting that part and having those relationships in case there's a problem for a
most
warranty
certainly.
Much more valuable than someone saying, like, you know what, I'm going to try and save $5 and get the part myself.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. Yeah, so the vendor will take care of me when I call, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, where it's not an issue for the customer to get it repaired. You know, it's not an expense out of their pocket and anything like that.
Yeah.
So,
but if I brought my own transmission, I was like, Joe, put this in for me. You're going to be like,
Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be a warranty, but we would do it, you know, and
right.
I would strongly advise on not, unless it was out of a vehicle that shifted properly and things like that. But some of these transmissions, Frank, have computers inside of them.
Hmm.
So it's going to be VIN reference to the car that it was pulled out of, and it might become a bigger issue. So you have to go with something that wasn't in a prior vehicle that's kind of fresh. So
okay.
We would have to go through, you know.
A whole different process.
Yeah, we would research it and things like that to make sure, you know, we weren't going the wrong direction, in other words.
So you would stop that before it got really bad?
Yeah, exactly. We're not looking for a bottom line number here. We're looking for the proper fix the first time, essentially.
Well, let's talk about, you know, projects you're excited about or new things that you're excited on. I know we got this damn fly here, dude. I'm seeing it.
Yeah, it's all right. He'll mosey off eventually.
So,
new projects in the pipeline that I'm trying to embark on. Definitely would like to get more into the vehicle sales. It just looks like...
And you have space at your current location to do this at.
Yeah, there's like a little plot of grassy land behind the building in which I could put a fenced-in lot there, you know, and basically make that a car lot or park vehicles back there that are there for repair. But yeah, just basically getting a little bit more into the vehicle sales. We sell a few cars up there, but I'm not involved with that so much as like a used car lot would be that just strictly sells cars. I mean, we have a good location for it, so I think it would make a lot of sense and also kind of sell a better product than the rest. It seems like, once again, these people are just looking for the bottom numbers, and I'm just looking for something that's, you know, leaving our doors better than it came, or a car that we fix up that's going to last the customer some time without them having to shell out more money, you know, in the not so distant future. In other words, where it costs them more money than they paid for it. Maybe even I see that all the time with people coming in with, you know, 30-day tags or whatnot. And now it needs thousands of dollars of repair. And it kind of sickens me because I'm like, you could have just drove it up here and I would have raised it up and inspected it for you and saved you a lot of money.
Yeah,
you would have bought it.
Yeah.
You know, he would have bought something else, but, yeah.
I've done that before. I brought a couple cars to you.
Yeah, it's sometimes it saves you a lot of aggravation.
Unless they sell for this price, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a really good, valuable thing. So how many cars do you think you're going to try to have on this lot, I guess you could say, at once?
Probably at least 5 to 10, you know, depending upon.
So
you know.
You're not trying to be like a massive car
No,
dealer.
That's not solely what we're based upon.
You just want to sell good quality used cars.
Yeah, I'm more service oriented. And it seems to me sometimes we run into a customer where, you know, they've just held on to a vehicle for some time and it's to the point of being mechanically totaled out and they just are kind of, we don't want to put any more money into it. And it would be nice for me to kind of guide them into something else that kind of, fit something that they'd liked and they didn't have to put much money into that and it was more of a win-win, you know?
Right. No, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, that sounds like some new exciting things that are going to be happening.
Definitely.
So, getting into that, growing and expanding your business in that aspect. But that pretty much answers all our questions for the most part. What are some ways that people can get a hold of you if they got a problem or they want to get their car fixed?
Yeah, sure. You need to check us out online, truequalityauto.com, or give us a call at 937-331-8300.
Okay. And is there anything else you wanted to say, Joe? Anything about, people and their vehicles or...
Yeah, basically, I know we're all trying to save, dollars nowadays or, everything just keeps going up in price. But I mean, I think people really need to find that good mechanic and stick with them and just not have that very important transportation device go through too many hands that don't know what they're doing. Just find somebody that knows what they're doing, likes what they're doing and is going to be there when you need them.
I agree with you. For me, it's about trust. I've dealt with multiple different places to go and going and dealing with you, at least on my own personal experiences, I know I can always trust you. And we're to a point where it's like, yeah, go ahead and fix it. You don't even need to ask me, like, let's just get it done. Because I know you're not going to be saying, hey, oh, by the way, you need this, or oh, by the way, you need this, or oh, by the way, you need that. You're going to truly give it a real look and say, okay, this is the problem. And it might be this, but I don't know. We're going to do this too because it's looking like it is.
Oh, you know? Definitely. Yeah. Just like going back to what we call the shopping list. There's a lot of systems in the car and some things take priority over others. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to look at something like an oil leak and not tell you about it.
Of course.
We need to be upfront honest with the customer and let them know what's going on with the vehicle. But
I left my vehicle at a place that's a big chain. The chain. And they checked it out and I paid for them. It was like a $200 fee to do it. It was a new car. They check it all out, right? They left the cap undone on the radiator and next thing you know, I'm driving. My car goes to like 1,000 degrees. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So I didn't get towed. I towed it back and I said, you guys did this check and there's no reason that cap should be missing because they told me.
So you saw that on the side of the road or whatnot, or you saw the cooler
coming
out?
No. I asked them what was wrong, and they said you had a missing radiator cap.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I said, well, there would be no reason to have a missing radiator cap except for you guys because you guys checked it all out.
Yeah, they were the last ones to check it, sure.
So you forgot to do it. This is literally just driving it 4 miles on the road.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just think about it if that was your drain plug for your oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
I had a teacher happen at Walmart, and they forgot to put the plug back. Her engine got locked up.
Yeah. Now, what's that do? Now you're without a car. Where are you going
to... Well, she had to prove it.
That's another thing. It could be a schlocky outfit where they don't want to take responsibility, even though they just touched it.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
So it turns into...
Car's gone.
Yeah. It could turn into a big problem quick.
So... Well, Joe, it's a pleasure having you here, and I appreciate you, and,
Definitely. Thanks for having me, Frank.
I trust you with all my stuff, so hopefully everyone else that listens to this will, too. So.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, you have a great evening.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at DaytonApproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.